Welcome to the Steelers by the Lake podcast. My name is James Strong, joined once again by my co-host Cody Tanner. Cody, how are you on this Sunday afternoon? Palm Sunday, right?
Sunday? No, next Sunday is Easter. Easter.
You're right.
That's weird. I was at church this morning.
Did you go to church today?
I was at church today. There were no palms.
Didn't they wave palms around and stuff?
I think they're doing something tonight for that.
You going to some kind of like anti-religious church or something?
No, stop it. They're doing something tonight at 6 o'clock. It's 5:54.
Oh, okay.
I won't be there for that. We have to record a podcast. but that's okay. I have friends who will be there. They'll tell me all about it. With that being said, James, it's Sunday.
You're so thrown off right now.
That's okay. I am. That's okay. Easter will come next week. It'll be fine. Eat a chocolate bunny.
The bunny will come.
The bunny was at work yesterday, but that's beside the point. Anyways, we have Steelers stuff to talk about. It's been a crazy. I mean, the last time you guys heard us talking, we were discussing the Russell Wilson signing and all the stuff there. Patrick Queen. We mentioned the thought of still getting another quarterback, whether it be later in the draft or, you know, was this Justin Fields thing still potential when you think about having two mobile quarterbacks? And then they went and signed wide receiver Van Jefferson is the first news of this show. So
yeah,
wide receiver Van Jefferson, previously of the Los Angeles Rams, played in the Super Bowl with them, if I'm not mistaken. Nothing too crazy stat line from him other than, what was it, 2021? Year he had again?
Yeah, I've got it right in front of me here. So 2021, his rookie season was 2020. 2021, his best season with 50 receptions, 802 yards, and 6 touchdowns. Other than that year, the other 4 seasons, he did not have a single season with more than 24 catches. Last year with the Falcons, only 12 for 101. The previous year, which was his final year with the Rams, 8 catches for 108 yards. Known for being a burner, he's a vertical stretch guy that can really get deep and stretch defenses. So I think that's probably the plan for Van Jefferson, is send him deep. The quarterbacks that we have on the roster currently are both known for having big arms. And that is Russell Wilson's strongest part of his game is his deep ball. He's a very accurate, good deep ball thrower.
Yeah, it's not his height.
No, definitely not.
Nope, that's why he doesn't throw the
You got that Drew Brees thing going on, man.
Hey, future Hall of Famer. Drew Brees, future Hall of Famer. Don't take too many shots there.
Hey, nine-time Pro Bowler Russell Wilson, you never know.
That's true. If he gets another ring.
I mean, Ben only made it to 7 Pro Bowls, buddy, so.
That's fair. Ben can go in next year, right?
Soon,
no,
yeah.
2 years.
A couple more years. You got to be 5 removed. So. I think two more years.
I think it's 3.
Or 3 more years. Yeah.
That's okay. We'll talk about that when it comes. We'll be here for you. But then the trade alert happened. The trade alert of the century happened, and we did it. We acquired Justin Fields for next to nothing.
Basically, yeah. Yeah, this is a 2025, so not the upcoming draft class, but the one next year. 6th-round pick that could turn into a 4th-round pick based off of playing time. So the plan as far as the front office right now seems to be to start with Russell Wilson and then go with him as long as possible. Rumor has it Arthur Smith, our new offensive coordinator, is already drawing up plays to have both quarterbacks on the field at the same time, which I love hearing that.
It's going to be wild.
Because honestly, as athletic as this kid is, like, if you're not familiar with Justin Fields, I get it because he really has had some ups and downs while he's been in Chicago. But what you need to know about him is he's the size of Cam Newton in his peak. So big, strong, athletic dude, way faster than Cam ever was. So if you're talking speed, go to like Lamar Jackson type speed, incredibly fast individual. But way bigger than Lamar Jackson, dang near broke his single season record for most yards rushed in a single season by a quarterback, and has an extremely strong arm. So he's having some issues as far as accuracy, as far as throwing over the middle of the field, reading defenses. He's got some issues very similar to Russell Wilson as far as like rolling out of a pocket and going in to trouble instead of away from trouble, except he's just so highly athletic that he has a habit of breaking some of those tackles. Now, his sack rate was really, really high the last couple seasons, just like Russ, so one of the worst in the league. But also, you got to look at that Chicago team did not have a very good offensive line, and were so desperate for help at wide receiver that they were giving up second-round picks for Chase Claypool. So that kind of shows you what he had to work with. I think day one, Justin Fields is in a drastically better situation than he was in Chicago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, drastically better situation, and he doesn't have to worry about starting right away. And quite frankly, and I heard this on the Pat McAfee show, shout out to them. There's a benefit here for Russell Wilson too. He gets the you know, the benefit of starting, but under no pressure to perform. I mean,
he can't be bad. He can't go out there and be bad because they will throw.
Well, true. Let me clarify. I messed that quote up. The Steelers have no pressure in starting him because he's only $1.2 million. Like, there's no pressure that if he's playing bad, they can't take him out.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I meant. My bad.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes all the sense in the world. And the thing that I really like about, I think we knew this at the right before we recorded last week's show, the Kenny Pickett trade happened. So we knew about Kenny Pickett already.
Yep.
But what we've got now is Justin Fields and Russell Wilson both under contract for 2024 and nobody under contract for 2025. So you do kind of have a situation where you can just see how the season plays out and then run with whoever you want to out of the two of them for the future. Yep. You would like that to be Justin Fields because he's young. He's still on his rookie contract. He's going into the fourth year of his rookie deal. If you take the fifth year option on him, it's going to run you almost $26 million. Dang. That's a decision they have to make by May. So you don't get to see him on the field before then. It's a decision that you have to make based off of how he's already played for Chicago and nothing that he'll do for Pittsburgh at all. So that does make that difficult to try to make that decision. That being said, if Russ plays well and they move forward with Justin, because he shows enough for them to think, okay, this could be our quarterback of the future, and Russ goes out and signs a contract with somebody next year, guess what that factors in for Pittsburgh? The compensatory formula. And it'll probably be a pretty high one if Russ plays decent. And if it goes the other way around and Russ just plays out of his mind and we throw a three-year contract at him to keep him in Pittsburgh and try to get a Super Bowl window going and then let Justin Fields go in free agency. Again, do you think Justin Fields isn't going to get a contract from somebody?
He'll
get paid a decent amount of money for somebody to take a shot at him, try to revitalize his career. And again, that's going to really work well for Pittsburgh in the compensatory formula. So I think that this is a situation where Pittsburgh is playing a little bit of chess, where maybe some other teams playing checkers here. And one of the two of them is not going to be on the roster in 2025, and you're likely to get a compensatory pick for whichever one it is, and a decent chance of it being a high one. Because next offseason, you're going to be throwing money at Pat Freiermuth, you're going to be throwing money at Najee Harris, these guys to retain your own, even James Daniels, the right guard, you're going to want to retain him. He's played pretty well. I think you're going to be paying your own and keeping your own next offseason. I don't think we're going to have anywhere near the splash that we had this year. And this year really wasn't that big of a splash other than Patrick Queen. I think it'll be less of one in next year's offseason.
Yeah. I mean, Pittsburgh has the least paid offense right now, total. It's like $58 million in our offense as a whole, which is wild.
Yeah, byproduct of trading away your only player that was actually being paid anything, right? Deontay had like a $20 million tag going this year and they traded him away, so that would have been a lot higher figure had it not been for that trade. But
yep, no, we'll take it for sure.
I mean, the only guys they're paying right now are offensive. That's it. Everybody else is on rookie deals.
And we're gonna talk about this. So obviously this Justin Fields trade happened after the Kenny Pickett trade. I do want to talk. Mike Tomlin actually talked on the decision of trading Kenny Pickett, and he said from his perspective being Kenny's, from his perspective, he felt like a change of scenery would be a good thing. Obviously, when we felt the trajectory of the business with Chicago moving in the right direction, those dominoes started falling. I believe that basically is saying if they weren't going to have the trade for Justin Fields, they weren't going to trade Kenny away, is what that sounds like. But again, Kenny's bigger issue was when Russell came in, not Justin Fields, obviously. And then Tomlin went on to say, I won't get into specifics about our conversations, but I am appreciative of his efforts during his time in Pittsburgh, and I wish him nothing but the absolute best in Philadelphia. So Mike Tomlin said his piece. Kenny Pickett's obviously said his. Beating around the bush a little bit here and there, whatever. But hey, we got two new quarterbacks in the room, a third one on the way, more than likely through either the draft or undrafted signing of some sort, I'm sure. Because Josh Dobbs already signed his contract. We can't bring him in, unfortunately.
Yeah, Josh off to San Francisco, right?
Yep. Back up, yeah. Brock Purdy. That'll be interesting.
Oh, boy. So on to other news for Pittsburgh here. Dante Jackson, the newly acquired cornerback from the Carolina Panthers, has restructured his contract, and it's going to save Pittsburgh $4.5 million. It's straight up just a pay cut. This is not a moving money around. They just knocked off any of the incentives and bonus money. This is kind of what was going to happen to him. He was in a situation where he was going to get cut if he couldn't get traded. Yeah. They didn't feel that he was worth the money that he was about to make on that contract. So Pittsburgh said, hey, we're going to trade for you, but we're going to have to rework that deal. And it's going to save Pittsburgh about $4.5 million on the cap. So that's useful.
That's fantastic. In other news, we're going to look on the staffing side of the team for a second. We did hire Anthony Midgett as an assistant defensive backs coach. Now, Anthony Midgett has a background in coaching, obviously, and in the NFL. James, you have that in front of you, don't you?
I absolutely do, yes. As a player, he started his career with the Atlanta Falcons in 2000 and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers practice squad from 2000 to 2001. So 2 years in the league, all of it on practice squad. As a coach, he started off in high school as an assistant coach, went to Virginia Tech as a graduate assistant, Georgia State as a defensive backs / special teams coordinator. And then that was from 2008 through 2012, Penn State safeties coach in 2013, 2014 to 2017, moved to the NFL, Houston Texans assistant secondary coach. And then from 2018 to 19, the secondary coach of the Houston Texans, 2020 to 2022 in Tennessee as the defensive backs coach, and now the assistant secondary coach for the Steelers. So
it looks like he had a 2 year off. Don't know what he did with those 2 years, but he from 2022 to 2024.
Well, that's just one season. So he just wasn't coaching in 2023 is all.
That's fair.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So yeah, nice resume. A guy with a lot of experience coaching safeties and corners. Looks like a specialty as a safety as far as coaching. But yeah, former fifth round pick out of Virginia Tech.
Love it. Love it, love it, love it. And he's familiar with the Pennsylvania. He was at Penn State for that year.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He'll like the weather. He'll like it. He'll deal with it. He'll deal with the snow.
He won't have a choice.
Yeah, exactly. It's exciting to get new faces on this coaching staff all around, from Arthur on the offensive side of the ball, Anthony Midgett, defensive side of the ball. Excited to see what we do. And maybe this will affect the draft class. Maybe this will affect who we draft. Maybe these guys know something or from other people or other conversations around the league. It's just all very exciting. So Steelers did, speaking of the draft, send the house to both Georgia and Michigan pro days. I'm assuming, especially the Georgia one, we're mostly looking at offensive linemen from Georgia's standpoint. I don't know anyone specifically on the defensive side of the ball that we'd be targeting from Georgia right now. I'm trying to pull up that list too.
Yeah, I actually had just pulled up Michigan, so I can start at Michigan.
Yeah, go for
while
it.
You're pulling up Georgia there. Michigan junior Colson is a middle linebacker there who's highly thought of, so I'm sure they're paying close attention to him. 6'3", 247, kind of a thumper type dude. So somebody they would probably be looking at there. Blake Corum, the star running back, I doubt they'll be interested there. Let's see here. Who else? I want to say that they have – oh, yeah. this name's going to sound familiar. Chris Jenkins. His father was an excellent defensive lineman in the NFL. He's a highly touted defensive lineman, 6'3", 305 pounds, put up 29 reps on the bench, 4'9", 140, which is excellent for a guy that size, and then 34-inch long arms, nice 10-yard split of 1.7. So this is something that he would fit the Steelers system quite well and has the length necessary to play both defensive end and defensive tackle. There is a the quarterback, obviously, J.J. McCarthy. I don't think they're really looking to do that, though. I think they're pretty set at that position. There is a defensive back. Here he is, Mike Sanders still. Mike Sanders still is thought of by many as the top nickel corner in this upcoming draft class. 5'9", 182 pounds. He's a little on the smaller side. That's not absolutely abnormal, though, when you're talking about a nickel corner, right? That's about the size you expect a nickel corner to be. Ferocious tackler. Ran a 4.47 40, which is just really fast for a nickel corner. Usually your nickel guys are a little bit on the slower side, just more agile. 14 reps on the bench, so plenty strong. A 40-inch vertical, which is incredible. Broad jump of 10.11, also incredible. So an extremely explosive dude with really good long speed, strength, tackling ability. So I think those are kind of the big takeaway guys, along with the wide receiver Roman Wilson, who at 5'11", 185, ran a 4.39 40 at the combine, known for being an excellent route runner, really good at shaking people off and getting separation. So he could be a possible target as like a second or third round wide receiver, possibly.
Yeah. All guys that we're definitely interested in. I mean, I shouldn't say all, but guys that we are interested in. So here's the thing with Georgia. So the big guys from Georgia, one being the tight end Brock Bowers. I can't imagine us going after another tight end right now.
And he's not a scheme fit. He's too small.
He's too small. And he also didn't do combine or pro day due to injury. Amarius Mims is the other guy. So he did the 40-yard dash at the combine, ran a 5.07. This is the offensive tackle that could opposite Broderick Jones, also played with Broderick Jones at Georgia. Ran a 5.07 and then also did a 25.5 vertical jump and a 9.3 broad jump. Did not do the bench press. I also realized he did not participate in Georgia's pro day. So there is a chance that maybe they just wanted to meet with him, talk with him, see if there's some kind of injury relation going on there. I have seen mock drafts where people have us picking him up in the first round. I'm not even sure he's going to be there. But again, at this point, if he skipped out on the pro day and the bench press on the combine, there's a chance he falls. Other guys on this list would be the one that interests me a little bit, Ladd McConkey. Ladd ran is a wide receiver out of Georgia, 6 foot, 186 pounds, 30 and a quarter inch long arms. He ran a 4.39 40, 36.
That's great.
Yeah. 36 on the vert and 10.4 on the broad, only put up 13 reps on the bench, but at that size, you probably don't expect much more than that. So I mean, there's a chance he bulked up for pro day. I'm actually not certain. Let's see if he had any different kind of weigh in for the pro day. I don't see anything talks with this. Nothing that I can see from his pro day. They don't have any listings here that I can see. Unfortunately,
Cedric Van Pran, the center, that's another one.
Yeah.
Quite likely to be on Pittsburgh's list since they don't have a center on their roster.
Well, and then there's also the cornerback Kamari Lassiter. He didn't run the 40 or anything at the combine, but he did the 3-cone drill and ran a 6.62. And the 20-yard shuttle ran a 4.12. Not super high numbers, but numbers that would be considered good around the NFL. Could come in and be a backup easy if we see him later in the rounds of the draft. But again, I understand why they sent the house to Michigan. It makes sense. Georgia, none of these guys were really participating that you think they might actually be looking at. Mims, maybe to talk to him. And Ladd, I mean, obviously we saw the 40 yard. If he bulked up and put a little bit more up on the bench, 15, 16 reps, that might mean something or say something, but I don't know. I don't know why they sent the house there, I guess, is my concern.
I think to me, it's more offensive line than anything else with Georgia. because there's a lot of interest in the offensive tackles and the centers in this class from mm-hmm. Pittsburgh. And they've got a guy at both positions that are highly thought of. So I think the center is more of like a second, third round, maybe later than that kind of guy. But that Amarius Mims, if you want him, you better take him in the first round because he won't be there in the second most likely.
Yep. I mean, same thing with Cooper DeJean. We've been high on him this whole time. So
yep. Yeah, and that's another thing. I mean, since we're talking prep, Cooper DeJean was not healthy enough to do any of the drills yet. I did read something that said he benched, but didn't see results on what his bench was. I'm betting it was probably good, though, because the dude's pretty well built for a corner. He has said that he will do a workout April 15th. So that'll put him about a week and a half in front of the NFL draft. I'm kind of hoping he's still not able to run and jump and do at that, and that somehow knocks him down some people's lists, because a lot of the mock drafts out there right now are pushing Cooper DeJean later and later in the first round. Nobody has him out of the first round, but a lot of times pick number 20 comes around and he's still available, and people have Pittsburgh going other directions now because of the need at wide receiver, the need at offensive tackle and center. A lot of times that's the way people are going for Pittsburgh, and I totally get that.
Yep.
But the thing is, if you go with a guy like Cooper DeJean, year one, you could start him as your nickel corner, and then year two, you move on from Dante Jackson, push him to the outside, bring in a new guy to run nickel. So I think his versatility and ability to tackle and cover and hit and everything just fits so perfectly in Pittsburgh that it's a dream pick. And the longer it takes before he's ready to work out, the better chance there is of him being available at 20 and making the decision real difficult for Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't see any updates here as far as numbers for him. I don't see anything, unfortunately, but again, a guy that we wouldn't mind getting by any means. Speaking of the cornerback room, let's mm-hmm. talk former cornerbacks. Cam Sutton having some legal issues as of recent and released by the Lions. I saw one comment on the Twitter feed from the police in the area where has a warrant out for his arrest right now. And they said, Omar Khan is looking more and more like a genius. Man, you trade this guy away and then apparently his life, and I don't say that in a mean way. Apparently his life falls apart. I mean, the guy was great in Pittsburgh, and then all of a sudden, you know, we get rid of him, get some decent compensatory stuff back, not compensatory, but compensation back, and boom, he's going to be probably out of the NFL if he's even found at this point.
Yeah, and to be fair, he left in free agency. Pittsburgh did not have the money to retain him.
Excuse me, so yeah, not resigning him.
Yeah, they didn't get anything back for him, but
didn't we get a compensatory?
It was one of those. What's that?
Did we get a compensatory for him?
No, we haven't had a compensatory pick in a few years because they keep on spending so much money the other guy. So the money they spent on Patrick Peterson and Cole Holcomb and Mitchell Trubisky and all these guys negatively impacted the ability to get anything for anyone lost. Even Isaac Seumalo factored into all that as well, which was another nice pickup. But yeah, at this stage, you hope for the best for Cam Sutton. Hopefully, you know, he's just really depressed and wanted to get away from things before he surrenders himself to the police.
Yep.
But it's a real bad situation. It's assault, it's battery, it's strangulation charges. It's a real bad situation, and I do believe they called it domestic, which usually means it's a man doing that against a woman. So this is really worst case scenario for what could happen to him and the woman involved. Assume it to be a love interest or something like that, a girlfriend or significant other, whatever it may be. You hate to hear it. If you're a praying person, pray for him that he's still okay out there and he comes out of whatever mental state I imagine is probably absolutely atrocious right now, because it doesn't look good. Doesn't look good at all. A lot of people are worried that he's been missing for like 2 weeks now, right?
Yeah, it's been missing. Let me double check this.
It's a while. Yeah, I mean, the Lions even went as far as cutting him already. So I don't think he's ever coming back to the NFL. There's
no,
you know, not to make light of the situation, there's only one team that signs people after you've commit crimes against a woman, and that's the Browns. Yeah. So
or, if he's going to play in the NFL Cowboys. Again, it'll.
Do they though?
Didn't they sign? Didn't DeMarcus Lawrence have an issue with that, and then he got signed or re-signed?
Maybe. Probably. Yeah, maybe. The Browns have just done it so many times that that's I don't. True. Yeah, it's Kareem
they're,
Hunt
they're
and
notorious
Sean Watson
and
the corner that they drafted that got busted in college with 160 date rape pills, and they drafted him anyway. Like, there's just it's just a repetitive theme in Cleveland that they do not care about their female viewers or fans at all.
Nope. Nope, they don't. I don't think they care about the regular fans, quite frankly, but that's beside the point. the male, I don't think they care about the males either. Let's be real. No, but with that being said, that's all we have for today's show. We are going to be looking into doing mock drafts very soon, trying to pin down a date to get us two guests on the show. So keep your eyes open for that. We'll be looking hopefully to do that in the next week or so. And we will keep you guys updated with that as well on social media. So again, thank you guys so much for watching. If you're on YouTube or listening, if you're listening to any places that we have the podcast out, remember, if you are on Apple Podcasts, give those 5-star reviews. James will freak out. He has a good time before the show. He's all giddy and everything. He's like, he's got to be professional. And he's like, thank you for the 5-star review. And in reality, he's like, oh my gosh, it's a good time. So I'll record it next time. You can watch him freak out. So again, thank you guys so much. Be sure to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. Subscribe and ring the bell. It's free. And until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.
Peace.